Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So we will start our today's class. Today is 25th November 2021, Thursday class. So tonight we have a new participant. I think she is Sister Lorita from Singapore. Her name is Lin Yap. So, Po Cheng, you can get to know her too. She is also from Singapore. So, she has been following us for quite a while, but recently only she said she wants to join in, about time to join in the sharing. So, let us welcome Sister Lin, or Sister Lorita, Singapore. And as usual, we will be having our pre-puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then mindfully we shall chant the puja chanting. Our puja chanting is slightly different from others because we try to link the mayana to the Theravada tradition. So what we do is we will start with a salutation to our teacher, original teacher, Namo Bunsze Shijie Monifo, Sakyamuni Buddha first, then after that Kuan Yin, then all the other great beings. Then we continue with the Theravada tradition so that the two tradition is you make use of and recognize as one overall tradition. Okay. Namo Bunsze Shijie Monifo. Namo Bunsze Shijie Monifo. Namo Bunsze Shijie Monifo. Namo Quan Se Ying Pusa. Namo Quan Se Ying Pusa. Namo Quan Se Ying Pusa. Namo Amitabha Phật. 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 Namo Bunsze Bunsze. Namo Bunsze Bunsze. Namo Bunsze Bunsze. Namo Di Chang Wang Bunsze. Namo Di Chang Wang Bunsze. Namo Di Chang Wang Bunsze. Namo Phật Bunsze. Namo Phật Bunsze. Namo Phật Bunsze. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swaggato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Suppatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tertiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tertiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tertiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. आदिनादानावेरमणि सिक्खापदं समादियामि कामेषु मिचाचारा वेरमणि सिक्खापदं समादियामि ओसावादावेरमणि सिक्खापदं समादियामि सुरामेरायामचापमदथान वेरमणि सिक्खापदं समादियामि साधु साधु साधु। Okay, let us pay respect to Pujem. Padang Pujemi. Damang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, you all can be seated. Okay, for Sister Lin, since you are new, maybe I will brief you a bit on what we do, our session. So initially, we will commence with a pre-puja. Our pre-puja is like what we have gone through just now. This is to develop our respect, our faith, our salutation, affinity with the Triple Gem. So when we chant our salutation, we pay our respect, then we take refuge. After we take refuge, we renew our five precepts. Then this will give us faith. With faith, we will commence our sharing. But before, for Tuesday and Thursday class, we will normally have half an hour of awareness-based meditation. I will explain what awareness-based meditation is. Otherwise, you have to read up yourself on your own. You can go to our website, Brother Teo, brotheo.com, and you can find them. After the meditation, I will ring the bell three times. Upon hearing the bell, you can slowly, mindfully come out on a meditation. Then after that, we will do the invocation to the devas. And we will chant the invocation. Then after that, we will go through the salutation of the Triple Gem. Means salutation to the Buddha, salutation to the Dhamma, and finally, salutation to the Sangha. So that we know what the Triple Gem are, the characteristics and meaning of the Buddha, Dharma, and the Sangha. So all this very useful, very important. Then after that, we will continue with our Dharma sharing. So at the moment for Tuesday and Thursday class, we will be sharing this Lotus Sutta, or in Mandarin is called Miao Fa Lian Hua Qing. So this Miao Fa Lian Hua Qing, the exact English translation is Miao Fa is Wonderful Dhamma. The Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. Tian Hua is Lotus Flower. Qing is Sutta. So today is our second lesson. We are using this book. A simple explanation of this Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta by Venerable Master Xuan Hua. Master Xuan Hua is the abbot of City of 10,000 Buddhas, the famous City of 10,000 Buddha in the United States. He is also my refuge teacher, my whole family's refuge teacher. So like I explained the last session, which is our first sharing, first class sharing. So far, I find his commentary very complete and very authentic. That's why we use them. Except for the sutra infinite meaning, we use the other one by Ciji, the abbot of Ciji, Zhenyan Fasi one. So basically, that is the gist of it. Then after we finish our sharing, we will normally have about 3 minutes of toilet break. Yeah? You can go for your toilet break at that time. Then after the toilet break, when we come back, we may have a short sharing. It depends. If it's not much time left, then we will have our second session. Second session is meditation, reporting, followed by whatever question that you may have. You can ask them question regarding the meditation, the teaching, or how to apply what you have learned, Mr. Dhamma, to help you understand life and solve your whatever problem or situation in life. So these are the things that we will have in the second session. Then if you have your own cultivation experience, you want to share, you can. Dhamma in daily life, all those things. Then after that, we will have our closing puja, which is a sharing of merits. We rejoice. Then we share merits. Then after that, we make the transform merits as a followed by the chanting of the blessing for the nation and the world. Then we also make aspiration by invoking power of merits for causes and conditions, for all calamities, for all those who are involved, to walk the path of Dhamma, to avoid the foolish, meet up with the wise, so the enlightenment, Nibbana, can be realized as soon as possible. So basically, this is what we do. Then on Sunday, it's a separate session. Sunday, we will be sharing from another book. Sunday sharing is normally from my sutra transcript book. All the talk that I have given, the whatever transcript that we have developed, I am going through them so that people can develop a more stable understanding and clearer understanding. We will be sharing from this book, the Sunday class, the fourth lesson of the Six Patriarchs Platform Sutta. So this one is based on a sharing that I delivered in the year 2015. So this subject and this session, they did the transcript. That's why we will be going through them. So basically, that's what you will go through with us. So with this, I think we will have our half an hour awareness-based meditation. I will off the light. Then you can meditate from your side. You just have to remember just a few things. What is awareness-based meditation? Awareness-based meditation is not thought-based meditation. Means you develop the meditative training to develop awareness within, so that you can realize your awareness nature, which is your silent mind or your true mind. And your silent mind or your true mind is the meditative mind that Huining talked about. You must start from your self nature, which is without thought, Wu Nian. So to do this, you have to know the four support for awareness based meditation. So if you do this, it will help you go into the meditative state very fast. You can bypass all the traditional teachings where they use method, technique, skillful means and chanting to train the mind to be aware, to be mindful. Some who may not understand all this, instead, they use the method or technique to focus, to concentrate, then you are not developing awareness based meditation. You are doing concentration, focusing. Then the other thing is, when they receive the instruction to meditate, they verbalize the instruction. They not here, not there. And the doing is always by the thought process, which is very active. So if your thought is active doing the so-called meditation, then that is not awareness-based meditation. That is thought-based meditation. So what you need to understand is the reason why these people have to do that is because they can't develop the meditative mind straight away. They have problem. Mainly because most of these people, they don't know what the teaching is all about. They don't know how to start the real cultivation. According to Sakyamuni Buddha, if you don't have the five spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya develop until very stable, then your mental hindrance, the opposite five, which is sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind and doubt, they will surface. And when it surfaces, it will make you heedless. It will cause you to react to a lot of things. So essential desire, you will are the first two mind state that stir. It will trigger of like and dislike, or pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. So whenever you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, or in the meditation, you feel sensation or whatever, then this like and dislike will always surface because it has become so habitual in you. When the mental hindrance of sensual desire, you will keep on arising until it becomes so habitual. So this thing will become habitual tendency that makes them heedless, think a lot. And when you have fear, worry, anxiety, it's because you lack a stable mind, you lack faith, you lack virya, you lack mindfulness. So when you cannot do anything with the mind that have problem, then this mind will develop what they call restlessness. So restlessness normally come about because you have a problem. It will lead to fear, worry, anxiety, the lack of peace. Then when you have doubt also is the same. So they are called mental hindrance because these are mind state that will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. So they don't understand this. And because of that, whenever they want to meditate, the mental hindrance are there. That's why they cannot develop the meditative state. So instead, they need to anchor their mind to something. That's why they come up with method and technique or skillful means like chanting, etc. to do so that the mind can stay there. Or like anapanasati or rising, falling, the noting and all those things. Or chanting and all those things. So these are skillful means that they develop initially to anchor the mind, so that the mind can develop mindfulness. But some people doesn't understand. Instead of developing mindfulness, they think meditation is to concentrate and focus the mind. That's why they go and do the focusing, the concentration, the kasina, everything, the 48 object of meditation. So all this will lead to confusion if you don't have clear understanding. Whereas the true sati or mindfulness meditation is to develop awareness within, to silence your mind. When your mind has the spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance will cease. then you are automatically in the meditative state. Because when you have Sada and Virya, your mind is very calm because of your faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Then the Virya will make you awake. You will not be sleepy. Then when you have Sati or mindfulness developed until very stable, then you don't think. You are just aware. You can be aware of your object of meditation or anywhere your mind is. That's how you meditate. Then when your sati or mindfulness stabilize, it becomes samadhi. With sati and samadhi, your mind is collected and unwavering. Then it can see things as they are to awaken, to insight into phenomena, to develop wisdom. That's how the fifth spiritual faculty, panya, come into being. So when you have the five spiritual faculty developed, your mind is automatically in sati, aware, silent, with samadhi. So that is the meditative state. That is how you meditate. So tonight, I will teach you the four basic support to develop this awareness-based meditation so that you no need to go through all the methods and techniques and all the other skillful means that people do. Like Hui Ning say, it takes you direct to the true mind. So to do that, what you need to do is to remember the first three support. First one is relax. Relax body and mind completely. Relax means let things be at ease. 自在, in Mandarin is called 自在. So when you are relaxed, you are at peace. You are at ease. You are not trying to do anything. That's why when you relax body and mind completely, your mind is free. There is no tension, no stress, nothing to do. That's why don't try to know, don't try to do anything, just relax. Then your mind has to be in a state of clarity. That's why the second support is maintain awareness. When you are aware, there is no thought, no thinking. Without thought, you are already aware. So don't try to think. Don't try to do anything. Don't try to know. Don't try to verbalize. Just relax and maintain awareness. When you do that, your mind settles down very fast. Then whatever mental hindrance that you have earlier on, they will slow down, slow down, slow down. Your sankara activity will slow down. Then if you relax and maintain awareness, whatever arises, let it arise. Do not resist, do not oppose, do not do anything, just let it arise. And because you do not feed it with any more thought or mental energy, then this thing will slowly, slowly cease. Then when the sankhara activity slows down and cease, you will realize your true mind, your silent mind, your awareness nature within, stabilize it. So the third support is to maintain the awareness for as long as you can, preferably throughout your waking moment initially, and later on, even in your resting or sleeping moment, when your body rests, you can also maintain the awareness within. And after that, stabilize the awareness nature until it's very stable, until you can distinctly understand that there is another nature within you when you don't think. Then you will come to understand clearly what that nature is, that true mind. That is your true mind, your true nature. Then without thought, that nature will arise. Once the thought arises, you will be lost in thought, preoccupied with the thinking. That's why our mind, we can only do one thing at a time. Either we are aware without thought, at the moment, in silent inner awareness, or we are thinking, lost in thought, preoccupied with whatever thought that we create. So this is where meditation with understanding comes in. you can develop this understanding, then you can progress very fast. Then your sati will stabilize, your awareness will stabilize, then your meditation will progress and you will do very well. Okay, so with this, I will let you meditate on your own. Eh? Then for those who already know how to meditate, quite advanced already, you will be able to immediately within maybe 1 or 2 minutes, sometime immediately, or sometime within less than 3 or 5 minutes, you will enter the meditative state of inner awareness. Then just stay there. You can stay at your object of meditation or stay at your heart area, it's up to you. Yeah. Because when your mind has stabilized, means your mind has entered sati, it will become very sensitive. Then wherever you locate this mind, it will detect many things. Yeah. Then it will transform until that mind become very, very different. Yeah. That is the meditative mind. That mind can observe, can see, and can understand many things. Then if you have the ability to develop that, the fourth support is trust. This one you seldom do unless you can progress to a certain stage of stability. Then trust means the last support is to allow your awareness nature to do the meditation by itself. Do not interfere with the thought process. Do not interfere with the thinking. Just let things be. Let the awareness nature move. So that nature will move and do whatever it wants. Then if you can allow it to be, it will move and it will detect by itself. So finally is to have the ability to detect your gateway to your nature, which is around your heart area. But you have to be relaxed and completely silent, still. When you are in the state of tranquility and stillness without thought, no thought movement, the awareness nature is very sensitive. And that one, it can detect the gateway to your nature. Once you detect it, it will move by itself. Then the whole of the movement is very soothing. Then the person who went into it will know, who understand that all of your external yin yang energy will melt inside the gateway and transform your consciousness internally. Then the internal movement, the nature will move by itself. So this is what you need to understand. This is a brief summary of what awareness-based meditation is. Okay. You can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are your meditative mind state, your silent mind, awareness within that you need to make use of to develop the mindfulness in daily life, to be heedful in the midst of life, to cultivate apamada or heedfulness. Then apart from that, what you need is a religious routine, a daily religious routine, to make sure that you are heedful throughout the day, cultivating the mindfulness, the awareness, and developing the training, listening to Dhamma, contemplate, reflect, then do your religious routine, your morning chanting, evening chanting, or sometimes it can be when you wake up, you can read a metta or chant, renew your precept, take refuge, pay respect, cultivate affinity with Triple Gem, with the higher beings. Then after that, you can sit and meditate for a while. Then after that, share merit, transfer merit, then you start your day by being mindful. So for those who have the interest of chanting the sutta or what you want to chant, you can to develop the faith and understanding. Then for those who wants to listen to Dhamma, you listen. Those who want to cultivate through reading the text or the book or the transcript, you can. Then there is also your daily duty, your daily life that you need to attend to, especially if you are working, if you are a family person, if you have to do a lot of worldly things to fulfill your duty. You have to do that mindfully, with awareness, with understanding. Then learn to apply the Dhamma in the midst of life, how you live your life, how you develop understanding and all those things. And be mindful throughout. If you do that, you will progress. And for those who are more stable, more advanced, if you want to take the Bodhisattva vow, you can. And that will help you in your progress along the path of Dhamma. If you do that, you progress very fast. The Bodhisattva vow, there is a yellow card, 4 pages. And you can use it to do it. Okay, now we turn to page 6 of the chanting book. This chanting book you have, you can turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakawalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadam Dhammasvanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhammasvanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhammasvanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Iti peso bhagava arahang sammasambuddho vijacharana sampanno sugato lokavidu anotaro purisa dhammasarati satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati Swakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehi paseko opanayiko pajatang vetitabo vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato saukasango Ujjupatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Yadidam chatari purisa yogane Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savakasangho Ahuniyo, Anjalikaraniyo, Anuttarang Punyankethang Lokasati. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can be seated. Then we shall continue from where we stopped. You follow the soft copy via page 5 of the introduction. If you have the hard copy or the book copy, you can turn to page 8. We are at volume 1, introduction, page 8. Okay. The Buddha lived for the purpose of speaking the Dhamma Flower Sutta, and we are now able to hear it. We should give rise to great joy. We should consider how rare it is. Think it over. In all the years since the United States of America became a nation, how many people have had a chance to listen properly and truly to the Dhamma Flower Sutta or the Surangama Sutta? No one. Some may have read translation, but to only read them is to be like an ant nibbling at a watermelon. So this is the analogy. The ant runs around and around, nibbling here and there, but never get to taste the fruit. Those who read sutta on their own are like the ants nibbling at the melon. The melon is sweet, but no matter how long the ant runs around on the outside, it has no way of getting into the fruits and taste it, its flavor. Now we have, as it were, opened the melon. We are like ants that can now taste the fruit inside. So this is just an analogy here. But please do not get Master Xuan Hua wrong. It doesn't mean that you read the sutta, you cannot get any teaching out of it or any understanding out of it. It depends. It depends on your ability to understand, your past cultivation, and your parami and all those things. If you are the one that has your past cultivation and gifted in your ability to receive truth and Dhamma, then by reading the sutta or sometimes hearing the sutta spoken by somebody is enough, like winning just one stanza. The mind must have no dwelling. He awakened to the way, and he received profound awakening. It's like that is how his mind is. His mind never dwelt because he was born without the mundane mind. That's why his mind never dwelt. Whereas normal people, like most of us who were born with a mundane mind, if you don't know how to develop the meditation, our mind dwells everywhere, every moment, every instant, because it's too busy, heedless, very capable in Hokkien. Everything also wants to get involved, wants to know. Everything also wants to analyze, reason, views, opinion, very strong, then very active in wanting to be right. So all this will give rise to problem. So that one, just make a note. I read on. According to the five flavors analogy, we have seen the raw milk, coagulated milk, curdled milk, and butter used to represent the first four teaching periods, respectively. The fifth period, the Dhamma Flower Nirvana period, is likened to clarified butter, the finest and most subtle of tastes. The teachings of the Dhamma Flower Sutta is like the wonderful taste of clarified butter, the world's most delicious flavor. Nothing tastes better. So these are analogies. Now, as we open the Dhamma Flower Sutta, we can each find out for ourselves just what the flavor is. During the fifth period, both the Dharma flower and the Nirvana Sutta were spoken. So this Nirvana Sutta also very useful because it speaks about what Nirvana is. And also the Mahaparinibbana Sutta, they are all related to this teaching. The Dharma Flower Sutta took 8 years to teach, and the Nirvana Sutta took only 1 day and 1 night. The aim of the Buddha was to ask the Dharma Flower, to speak the Dharma Flower Sutta. It is said to be purely perfect because it is the pure perfect teaching and is not mixed with the storehouse, pervasive, or separate teaching. It is only the perfect teaching. Thus, in Buddhism, the Dharma Flower Sutta is the most important sutta. Students of Buddha Dharma who have not read, recite, that or heard it, certainly cannot be said to understand the Buddha Dharma. Why not? The speaking of the Dharma Flower Sutta was the final goal of the Buddha's life. If Buddhist disciples don't understand it, they don't understand Buddhism, for they have not understood clearly the wonderful Dhamma. So this one is referred to the ultimate teachings. The Dhamma flower is like the blazing sun at midday, shining in on all the mountain, river, forests, and plants. The hills and valleys all receive this universal illumination. In the Dharma Flower Assembly, all are said to be destined for Buddhahood. So you can have the good roots to be present at the Dharma Flower Assembly. It seems almost all of them are destined for Buddhahood. Then in the second chapter of this Lotus Sutta, the Buddha said, this one you must listen. This one is a very, very unique truth that the Buddha actually spoke. Sometimes when you travel overseas or when you are in your home country or hometown cultivating, it is very useful that you develop faith wherever you go. Whether temple or shrine or whatever, you must pay respect, develop the humility, the salutation, then have gratitude towards the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha, cultivate affinity with Triple Gem. These are very useful, very important. So here is stated by the Buddha under chapter 2 of this Lotus Sutta. He said, if people even with scattered thought, means you are not trained in awareness-based meditation, means your thought is scattered. You are not composed, you are not heedful, you are not aware, means your awareness is not stable, you think a lot. Even if people with scattered thought enter stupas or temple and just recite but once, homage to the Buddha, means you chant the salutation to the Buddha, then they will all realize the Buddha way, means the teaching, the truth. See, that sutta actually able to tell you, if you develop this faith, you actually can find the way. So in this verse, Sakyamuni Buddha gave us all a prediction of Buddhahood. So here, he said there is possibility of becoming Sammasambuddha, but you all will definitely realize the Buddha way. Saying, he doesn't need to be single-minded. If with a scattered mind he goes into a Buddhist pagoda or temple and recite only once, homage to thee, the Buddha, the fully enlightened one, like what we chant. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Homage to thee, the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened one. And you pay respect. Or in the Mahayana tradition, is Nam mô Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. So once you do that, then it will develop the affinity. So it is mentioned, it is for certain that he will find the Buddha's way and become a Buddha. Or perhaps a person merely raise his hand in salute. Although this is not a very respectful gesture, if one waves his hand or merely nod his head, he will also accomplish Buddhahood. Those who bow to the Buddha and recite the Buddha's name will certainly become Buddhas too. You may think if one who merely raises his hand or nod his head with a scattered mind is certain to become a Buddha, then the merits and virtue accrue from my sincere worship must indeed be great. So this is indeed true. Huh? So, but Master Sena said, do not hold such arrogant thought. Although it is true that such people will become Buddhas, those who understand the Buddha Dharma must add sincerity to their sincerity and respect to all respect, sorry, and respect to their respect, and vigorously pursue their study of the Buddha Dharma. Do not be self-satisfied and think if someone who merely nod his head with a scattered mind will become Buddha, well, then I don't need to cultivate in order to become Buddha. Don't have such self-arrogant thought. Eh? Of the four teaching, the four periods, storehouse period, pervasive period, separate and perfect teaching, the Dharma flower is the perfect teaching. These four are called the four types of teachings. There are also four methods of teaching. They subdivide the eight teachings into four types of teaching. Then after that, they move on to the four methods of teaching. They call it the sudden teaching, the gradual teaching, the secret teaching, and the unfixed teaching. Together, there are eight teachings. The four types of teachings are like type of medicine, and the four methods of teaching are like instruction on how the medicine is to be prescribed or administered. It is not enough merely to have the medicine and know it will cure the disease or illness. The medicine must be prescribed and administered correctly. After it has been administered, the illness will be gone, vanished. Now I will discuss the eight teachings, starting with the four method teaching. So first one is the sudden teaching. What is meant by sudden teaching? Sudden teaching means becoming a Buddha instantly. There is no need to wait. One immediately becomes a Buddha. Living beings who have roots in the sudden teaching instantaneously become enlightened. Sudden means very fast or spontaneous. The sixth patriarch taught the sudden teaching. So sixth patriarch teaching take you direct to your true mind. As I, his hallmark is, the three hallmarks of Huining's teaching is, you must start from the self nature, the first hallmark of no thought, Wu Nian. Then you move on to the second hallmark of no mark. No mark means Wu Xiang. No mark of a self cultivating, no mark of others. No mark of Dhamma, no mark of life, living beings, Dhamma, everything. So when you cultivate from the true mind, the true nature, there is no mark at all. But if you cultivate from the mundane mind, from the thinking mind, then there will be a lot of marks everywhere. As I Huining say, if you don't teach meditation, or teach the Buddha Dharma direct from the self nature, then you are not teaching the true teaching, because the true teaching has no mark. Then finally, when your mundane mind collapses, you can also develop the third hallmark of winning. The third hallmark of winning is to develop the mind that has no dwelling. So the mind that has no thought, the mind that has developed the wisdom to realize no mark, and finally the mind that doesn't dwell. That's why Wu Nian, Wu Xiang, Wu Zhu. So these three is the sudden teaching. Especially the first one, no thought. You start from the true mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind, the awareness-based meditation that I teach you. And that one is the sudden teaching. You will realize that nature, and you will know that nature is the eternal nature, unconditioned, unborn. And that one never died because it was never born. Then the other one, which is dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of normal, that one is the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the physical body and the consciousness trapped inside. That one is the human being or living being. And that one is not a permanent and changing entity. That's why you will see this clearly, distinctly. Then you will come to know that the first aspect of five aggregate of form and mind, the human being or the living being, they are impermanent. If you attach and cling, leads to suffering. And because it's impermanent, there is no self. That's why it's anatta, non-self, and empty nature of existence. So it is subject to the universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, and anatta. Even the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind is the same. The second aspect is the thought. The four aggregate of mind with the fifth aggregate, which is the what they call mental form, rupa. How does the mental form enter the mind? It enters through your perception, sanya aggregate. So when the mind perceives something, the external form enters the mind. So the four aggregate of mind together with the external form, it becomes a thought process. It becomes a thought. So the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind that the Buddha referred to under the Paticcasamuppada, the dwelling, is actually the thought, citta. So this one, you have to be really mindful, very stable in your awareness to see the links, to understand clearly who are you, what are you, then develop understanding, self-knowledge, then you observe using your true mind, your silent mind, your meditative mind. So all this is awareness-based meditation. If you do that, you will awaken. You will become different. So this is a sudden teaching. Whereas the other gradual teaching was taught by Great Master Sun Siu. Sun Siu is the actually chief disciple of the fifth patriarch Hong Ren. But because Huining's case was a very special one, so Sun Siu was given the chance to write a poem to show that he is worthy of the patriarchship. But he failed. In fact, he was given two chances. After the first poem, the fifth patriarch talked to him. He said, "You are at the gate of enlightenment, but you have not recorded. Write me another poem to show that you have that understanding so that I will immediately pass on the patriarchship to you." But Sun Siu couldn't. That's why it's meant to be. So finally, Huining became the sixth patriarch, and he inherited it from the fifth patriarch. And his teaching is so different from Sun Siu. That's why it's called the sudden teaching. So the Sun Siu side, they call it the northern teaching, is the gradual teaching. Whereas Huining came from the south, And the southerner is supposed to be barbarian, they call less educated. We have no, normally Beijing side more educated one. But you don't need education to actually learn the Dhamma, learn the truth. The truth can be understood by simple mind, a person with clear, simple mind. Not too much knowledge and too much intellect or too much education. You don't need that, that is not necessary. Where the truth is beyond words, beyond thought, beyond the intellect, the 文字. So all this understanding is very useful. Then we move on. The gradual teaching. Gradual refer to cultivation by degree. Sudden means suddenly become enlightened, and gradual means to be enlightened slowly and gradually. So here, I think it's not really explained in sufficient detail for cultivator to understand. But if you read just this commentary, you may not know much. So this sudden teaching is like that. Unless you have the good roots, you have parami from the past, and you can understand this type of teaching, then you can actually develop it like a lot of Kayamita. In the early day, I can't share and teach it this way because traditional Buddhist teachings are very different. They are of the orthodox tradition, and even a lot of the Mahayana teachings, they also follow their traditional way of teaching. There is a lot of emphasis on method, technique, teachers, and also for Mahayana on the chanting, the koan, and all those things. But the teaching was not clearly explained. The whole full picture of the teaching was not really put together as a big zigzag puzzle so that it formed a complete picture. When you have the complete picture, then it's very easy to cultivate, to meditate. Because if you were to look at the salutation to the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha, this are the characteristics of the triple gem. The Buddha, of course, is the nine great virtue. That's why we chant Ittipeso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho, etc. So that one we know. He's teacher of man, God, he has his perfection. He's a guy incomparable and all those things. Then he is the fully enlightened. Worthy of respect and all those things. Then we move on to the salutation to the Dhamma. This one is very important. The Buddha said, Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo. Well expounded is the Dhamma by the Buddha. So Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo is to tell you that this Dhamma is very unique, very special, very well expounded. Then after that, the Buddha explained what are the characteristics of this Dhamma. That's why he said after that, he said, this Dhamma is sanditiko, akaliko, ehipaseko, opanayiko, pachyatang, veditabbo, vinohiti. These meanings are very deep. Sanditiko means this Dhamma can be realized in the here and the now. No need to wait till after that. The promise after that. No such thing. So all those type of religion or teaching is out. Not the Dhamma already. But it can be realized in the here and the now. No need to wait till death, only go and find out. Because the promised land and all those things is after you die. Then apart from sanditiko, this Dhamma, the Buddha said, is akaliko. It is the timeless. Timeless here means beyond psychological time. Psychological time means thought process. when the thinking starts, that is psychological time. The other one is physical time. Physical time, you cannot change, you cannot stop. Your physical time is a measurement. Whereas psychological time is at the mind level. If you don't think, it is the timeless. Even the scientists know, if you travel at the speed of light, you reach the timeless. We have time is a fourth dimension. There's a formula. It depends on your speed. So all this can be understood. So if it's sandhitical and akalical, then it's easy to differentiate the true teaching, the true Dhamma. Means I must not use an instrument which is thought-based to develop the meditation. If I use an instrument which is thought to meditate or to develop the meditation, then how can I realize a state of enlightenment which is beyond thought? That's why this is the key to unfolding the sudden teaching, the correct meditation. That's why I share and prefer to teach the awareness-based meditation so that you don't use the wrong instrument. The instrument has to be like what Hui Ning say, that self-nature, that true mind, that silent mind. When you are without thought, wu nian, that is your true mind, that is your silent mind. When thinking stop or sankhara activity cease, that true mind, the awareness nature, surface. In fact, it was always there. It's because you are preoccupied with your thought process, your thinking. That's why you fail to realize that you have another nature within, the true mind, the silent mind. And meditation is to realize that, to stabilize that, and to use that to cultivate, to observe. That's why, with that understanding, you will know why Hui Ning's teaching is called the sudden teaching. So once you stabilize the awareness, and from there, because there is no thought involved, no duality, nothing, it's just aware. The spiritual faculties are there. And there is your true mind. Its characteristic is tranquility, stillness, fully aware. That's why it's hateful. So that true mind is so different. No restlessness, no agitation, no doubt, nothing. Unless you use the thought that has the content of consciousness, born of wrong view, wrong understanding. Then thought being an instrument that is limited, how can it realize the Dhamma or the enlightenment that is beyond thought? That's why it's not from the thought. When you cultivate, the enlightenment is an awakening, a realization. It's not using thought to think. No amount of thinking can awaken you. Contemplation is different. Contemplation is not the thinking part. It's to reflect, to contemplate, to recollect mindfully to a creative mind state. That's why it's different. So when you come to meditation, you need sati, mindfulness, awareness, nothing else. So this one is very important. Then after that, of course, we have the third one. Sandhitiko akaliko ehipasiko. This Dhamma stand up to investigation. The Buddha said, you are welcome to investigate into this teaching because this is the truth. If it's the truth, it will stand up to investigation. Everything he teach, right? All the Dhammapada verses, the essential Dhamma, all, you can put it to test. These basic essential teachings, the Four Noble Truths, the first, second, and third turning, everything. That's why once you put it into test, you become very strong in your faith, in your ability to understand this teaching. And that faith is not born of belief, blind faith. It's the faith born of understanding, of investigating, after you have investigated into it and extent of the investigation, like Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. Mind is a foreigner, all things, mind is chief. When mind arise, all things arise. So if you were to act with a heedless mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then suffering will follow you like a wheel that follow the hoof of the cart. So this one is Dhammapada verse 1. If you don't believe, you put it to test. If you are mindful, you are aware, you can see throughout the day. Living beings who don't have the mindfulness, heedfulness, and the awareness and the Dhamma, they suffer so much because heedless living, they always arise the wrong thought, the unwholesome thought that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Right? Dhammapada verse 2, the twin verse. If you know mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief, and when mind arises, everything arises, then you must act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind, with a pure mind that is free of all the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then happiness will follow you, like your shadow that never leaves you. You don't believe? You put it to test. You can be mindful, aware, to ensure that all your mental intention behind your speech, your action, and your thought process is without the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. You check, your life become beautiful. You are always joyful, happy. That's why happiness will follow you, like the shadow that never leaves you. It's all the time there. So this gives you confidence. And it's so easy to check. No need to believe anything. The fourth characteristic is even better. The Buddha said, this Dhamma is sanditiko, akaliko, ehipasiko, then opanaiko. Opanaiko means this Dhamma lead inward into our nature. So if whatever teaching that is not awareness based, that doesn't lead to your nature, that is not the true Dhamma. Then after it lead inward into your nature, it has another characteristic, pacetang, vedit tapo, vinohiti. This Dhamma is pacetang. Means what? Can only be realized by who? By the wise, each for themselves. If you have not awakened, you cannot understand this Dhamma. That's why this Dhamma, you no need to check. The form and mind that go through will understand. And you no need to like go and seek confirmation or anything. No. That form and mind that go through that process will understand what that teaching is. But it can only be realized, awakened to by the wise, each for themselves. So this salutation to the Dhamma is so important. With this, you will know how to meditate. Then when it comes to the gradual teaching, I will explain a bit. The gradual teaching is different. Gradual teaching is the traditional standard teaching. Like Sun Tzu, they all teach. They use the thought process to teach, thought based. Use the mundane mind to study the scripture, the teaching. Then after that, use it to cultivate. They go through the three phases of Dhamma. Pariyatti, learning the teaching. Then putting it to practice. Patipatti. Then the third phase is, of course, the fruit of the hard work and all those things, Pativeda. So when it comes to learning, they use thought instead of listening, reflection, contemplation, then meditative mind, silent mind, to insight into phenomena. So first turning, second turning, and third turning wisdom, they will arise. But the gradual teaching actually go into this very, very slowly. They gradually read. They gradually use the mundane mind to actually read the teaching. the sutta. Then what happened? After that, they interpret what they read. Yeah. Or they look up in the commentaries. Then they follow what is popularly accepted. They follow. Without knowing whether it's the truth or not. They haven't tested it. They haven't put it into investigation. They haven't realized themselves. Then they come out with method and technique to meditate. A series of instructions to do things, thinking that it's meditation. That has nothing to do with meditation. Not knowing that they have problem with developing the meditative mind, that's why they need method and technique to anchor the mind, to fix the mind so that it don't become heedless, it don't wander off and think a lot. So all this they don't know. So the gradual teaching actually wastes a lot of time, can cause a lot of deviation, detour. They say you can actually lose a lot of time, waste a lot of time. Yeah. So if you are not careful, if you don't understand all this, most people have to start off with gradual teaching. Like that day when Susan Tay from Klang and Miss Lee came, we discussed this topic. We said all the earlier problems, well, by now they already know that they have gone through like Yen Wang Lu, means all those before they understand, they gone through all those type of cultivation and teaching. So they also got caught. But now, after they understand, then we discuss. Then I told them, you can't blame yourself for going through that or all these people to follow that. Because if you don't have the understanding from the past, there is no way you can understand all this. If you don't have a teacher that can guide you and teach you, there is no way you can come out of it. Why? So I told them, when you start looking for meditation, what is the thing that you use to seek? Of course, it's your thought process, isn't it? Your mundane mind, but that is the only instrument you know. How can you know that there is another mind that is beyond the thinking mind, the what they call mundane mind? How do you know that without thought, you are already aware? So the inquiry earlier I give to you all is, without thought, who are you? That is the most profound. That is more profound than all the koan, like who is chanting the Buddha's name and all those things. Without thought, who are you? And what is thought? The five aggregate of form and mind, the second aspect. And what is this physical body and mind? The physical form and mind, the first aspect. So all this, nobody understand, nobody teach. That's why you can't blame them. How can they start from a point of wu nian, without thought, the first hallmark of healing? Where nobody understand. Nobody can teach this way. In fact, for me, my nature understand. And yet when I started, I find it so difficult to teach this way. Well, if I were to immediately teach like that, everybody run away. Because it's not the traditional way of teaching. Everybody asks, what do you teach, brother? Vipassana or what? If it's not vipassana, they don't even want to listen. Yours got jhana or not? Got jnana or not? Oh. Yeah, at that time, jhana, jnana was so popular. One-pointedness, concentration. So those were the conditions at that time. That's why I can't say anything. I cannot go against authority because that is the popularly accepted authority, the tradition at that time. And even a lot of people, they used to comment, a monk full time also cannot get it. You know, you think so easy. We are lay people, we don't stand a chance. Man. Then especially when I come out to share, I'm just a lay person. He said, who is this guy, brother? You know? How come he teach like that? Book also never write. He go and learn from monk. Monk also don't teach like that. That's why it's not easy. But now that I have explained all this, with this understanding, you look at it, it's very clear cut, isn't it? Very easy to understand, isn't it? If you go back the old way, you're wasting your time. You are being gullible. You don't know what is meditation. And you simply do without understanding. And that is gullible. That is delusion. Heedless. So all this, today's explanation is very good. Okay? So with this, I stop here. Huh? Stop at gradual teaching. We will continue with our second session. Huh?
Good evening, Rachel.
Yeah, yes.
Rachel and our Kalamitas.
Yeah.
Rachel,
we can hear you. Yes.
Maybe I would like to share a bit of my cultivation so far.
Sadhu, yes, very good.
For the past few weeks, my cultivation has been up and down.
Okay.
And, how to say? Because I'm now staying in Penang.
You're back in Penang. Okay. Yeah.
Circumstances is a bit different. So I don't have the total space to myself.
Certain
things are
yeah.
a bit restricted, especially my religious routine. For the past few weeks, when I hear Brother Teo, I think about 2 weeks ago, when I heard Brother Teo saying about the word determination. Brother Teo, it really spurs me to go back to what I have been cultivating.
Yeah, sadhu. That is very important. Yeah.
Yeah, I really see the importance of the dharma.
And, the mind that makes that determination. Mm.
Yeah. And how it can help us.
Yes. So, it will drive you. It will give you the impetus, the virya.
Yes.
Because that faith is the one that come out with the understanding and the determination follow, then the virya will drive you and you will cultivate. And that itself is the triggering of spiritual faculty. Then when your determination is strong, you will do your cultivation. Then sati, samadhi will follow. And then the 5 spiritual faculty come in and you will progress. That's why you have done it before, you will know. Sadhu. So what did you do after that?
Bertil, before we started the Lotus Sutra, before even Qinghao put up the link, one day, this thought just comes to my mind. I want to learn to paint the lotus flower.
Sadhu.
And then I asked myself, very strange. Why do you suddenly think of that? Then I just laugh. I said, never mind. When I go back KL, I can do the painting.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
When Qinghao posted a few days later, when Qinghao posted the Lotus Sutra link,
the wonderful. Radio,
my heart stirs. My heart.
Sadhu. Means it activate your nature again.
Yeah,
that's why it's
then,
very beautiful.
Then as usual, the tears come.
That then, all those movements will come.
Yeah.
That's why all this is actually opening up your nature. And that one is from your past. You are slowly going in and connect back to your past. Then after that, you will start to understand many more things. Then your cultivation will become very different again. Like how you have progressed over the past few months through your own sharing and description. It's so different. Now your understanding is so different. Every time I share, you can follow already. Like before, yes. Yeah.
And after I saw the Lotus Sutra, because being English educated, of course we've heard of Lotus Sutra, but I don't really know what it's about.
Most people don't understand.
I go and Google it, and then I go to Wikipedia, and
then
the summary of what the Lotus Sutra is about.
Yes.
A summary of all the different chapters.
Yeah.
Rachel, when I read that, I said,
a lot of joy.
I must learn, Rachel.
Yeah. Because this. this teaching is the highest teaching of the Mahayanas. The Mahayana teaching, these are the highest teaching. The other two is the Mahayana also, but Pure Land teaching. But this one is the traditional Mahayana teaching. The Threefold Lotus Sutra. Fa Hua San Pu Qing. So the first four is the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Qing. Then after that, we have three chapters inside there. So this Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Qing, is very important for cultivating the Bodhisattva way. Well, the first chapter talks about virtue. Virtue of great beings, of great Bodhisattvas, Mahasattvas. All the great beings, they have very unique virtue. That's why we have gone through. Then chapter 2 is on how to teach the proclamation of Dhamma. You have to have extensive understanding, exposure. That's why you need the Bodhisattva vow to come back, continuously come back. Then after that, to understand the 10 merits that the Bodhisattva can develop. And all these 10 merits are inconceivable because they are so powerful. They have so much power to transform living beings. Then after that, only we go to the second fold, which is this Lotus Sutra, Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing, the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Sutra. Miao Fa is wonderful Dhamma. Lotus is, Lian Hua is Lotus Flower Sutra. So under this sutra, there are 28 chapters. The Buddha teach very elaborate and detailed sharing of all the teaching that he has taught over the five periods, where they break it down into 8 types of teachings. So the first four are the fourfold teaching. Then they got the four technique or methods that they administer or apply or use. That's why they categorize them as methods of teaching. So all this, they actually take off. Then after that, in between, they also explain how all the various periods of teaching comes about and why the Buddha teach in this way. Well, these are the skillful means that the Buddha has to actually apply. Different period, different requirement. So they have to gradually bring the provisional teaching out until finally they are ready to receive the ultimate teaching. Because the first period, hardly anybody understand what he teach. They call it the Avatamsaka period. That time, all the sound hearer, the Arahant, the sainthood, all cannot understand. They were not ready. So only the great beings, the Mahasattvas and all the special beings, Bodhisattvas and the rest, can understand. Then the Buddha has to come out with all this provisional teaching. That's why we have the Theravada, the Agama period, or the Vaipuya. Then the gradual teachings and the perfect teaching and all this thing. So all this, they follow. Then finally only the Dhamma flower, wonderful Dhamma flower lotus, Flower Sutra. This is the final teaching, the ultimate teaching. They call it the perfect teaching. So this one, it also gives a lot of prediction of Sammasambuddhahood to a lot of the disciples of Sakyamuni Buddha. In fact, all those who attend, they actually, according to the sutta, they are destined for Buddhahood. But the one that received the prediction are actually supposed to be a lot more. But it's mentioned, I think, here and there, the 12,500 and all those things. Then there is the main 500 and all those things. So all these are very interesting teaching. And I like Shen Hua's commentary because it's very complete. So out of the 28 chapters, I think he spoke on for very long, and it came out in 18 volumes, if I'm not wrong. There were 18 volumes. So each volume is quite thick. So once we share this one, you all will understand a lot more how the provisional teaching, like I explained, how they started off with the provisional teaching, which is Theravada, orthodox teaching and all those things, and how it evolved and assimilate all the other teachings until finally the provisional will actually prepare the base for them to receive the higher teaching. That's how all this come about. That once you know this second fold, the third fold is meditation, complete focusing on meditation. That one is Samantara Bhadra, Pu Xian Jing, the sutra of meditation on Samantara Bhadra, understanding and vows and all those things. So this Pu Xian Jing, the meditation sutra or Samantara Bhadra Bodhisattva, is the final fold. Once we go into that one, you will have the full understanding of this threefold lotus sutra. That's why it's very important. Okay, you can continue with your sharing. Is it this?
Yeah, Brother, I feel indeed blessed to be able to learn all this sutra, especially being English educated, you know. How do you say? It's like, oh, we know there is, but we don't really take the trouble to go and read it or really go into depth about all these type of sutras.
Yes.
The only thing that have been keeping me straight in these past few weeks is actually I was quite, quite focused on at least doing once my religious routine together with my bodhisattva vows.
Yes, that was very important.
That I do not wish to break. So with that, I feel that I have a very deep understanding when, especially after when I was chanting my bodhisattva vow.
Yeah, after you go on that bodhisattva vow training, is about 3-4 months ago, I think.
Because with that, the determination to fulfill my vows
become very strong. Well, you have that parami from the past.
And yesterday when you started the Lotus Sutra,
so
at night when I was about to go to sleep, I told myself, okay, do your lying down meditation.
Yeah, sadhu. Wow, the energy show very strong.
It doesn't take me that long, surprisingly, I had not been able to do it for so many weeks, you know.
Yeah, then suddenly, after that sharing, it go in because your nature move again, stir inside, already preparing you. Then that time you meditate, you become very different.
Yeah. Just a short while after I did my meditation, I know that it is very deep, but it's gone so deep that it's so quiet.
Wow, sadhu.
And then suddenly I feel that like my heart, there's something stirring.
Oh.
And I feel that there's like an opening,
Oh, sadhu, very
it's
good.
It's like something like opening and then...
Yeah.
After that, I have this feeling that lots and lots of lotus sutra as lotus flower flowing into the
sadhu. Yeah.
It's like endless, Rachel.
Correct. Wow, sadhu. This your past is slowly trying to come out already. Because these are all inside your nature. When your nature develop this ability, then it will connect you. And this one is like last time Po Ching mentioned, it's like they call it, it's like a channel open up. Then the yin and yang energy all will melt inside, then it will flow in. So for your case, it's because of your joy and your, I should say, this Lotus Sutra actually, you have been in the past looking for it. And now, this life, you have the condition. That's why it's like unending type of lotus flowing through. And that joy will actually develop that type of meditative understanding and training. And it's very, very different. That's why this type of cultivation, normal people cannot do. Because without the faith, without the understanding, and without the determination, the vow, you cannot even understand what is going on, what is possible. That's why we are indeed very blessed, this era, and our Kayamita grouping and force is very strong, is very unique. That's why, like you said just now, you should feel like very blessed being English educated. Yet you can understand this Mahayana teaching. In fact, I can tell you, even Chinese educators cannot understand. And very few people can teach this type of Mahayana sutra teaching. Well, these are sutra for enlightened being. You don't have the enlightenment, you cannot understand what this sutra is. It's not an intellectual thing. Then, like I explained earlier on, the whole teaching was like over the years since the Buddha's time until now, like distorted or lost the potency and all those things. Of course, whatever that is preserved is still there, like the Theravada tradition, the Pali chanting are still very authentic. But the understanding of it, the interpretation of it is no longer there. That's why you need someone who understands to put it up into a full picture, like a big Ziklar puzzle, lay it out for you to see clearly so that you can link it. It's one teaching. It's not isolated teaching. And this teaching needs a lot of understanding because it's wisdom-based teaching. It's not knowledge-based teaching. It's not an intellectual thing. It's about wisdom, awakening. Dhamma is about truth. Then even to organize the understanding of the Mahayana teaching is not easy, like I explained the other night. There are pro and con of Theravada and Mahayana. Theravada got the advantage of the Pali canon and the Pali chanting to preserve the teaching, and that one is very useful. They are still very authentic, but they lack the understanding of it, the interpretation, the commentaries a lot are not accurate and not correct. Then the worst is over the years, it has deteriorated, become what it is today with method, technique, thought-based meditation and teaching. And they divide into so many of these divisions. Then when it come over to Mahayana, Mahayana like take off to a higher plane and dimension until they lost the basic foundation, the essential Dhamma of the Theravada not there. So you go to Mahayana temple or you learn from Mahayana temple or way place, it's very confusing. You don't know where to start. They ask you to do all the usual Mahayana type of training. They say sweep the floor, carry water, do your household thing. And they don't really explain to you that you have to develop daily mindfulness. Then they ask you to do chanting, kong'an. Then every now and then, the sutta and all those things, they go through with you. But you don't know what is going on, the head or tail, not clear. So because of that, we need to actually look at all this. That's why my nature look at it. Then I ask myself, how can I share with the living being, especially the English educated one? I realize the English educated one is the one that is like neither here nor there hanging. Because without the Mandarin base, very difficult to understand Mahayana teaching. Then, without the understanding of the essential, the Dhamma, and awakening. Even Theravada teaching also become very theoretical, very difficult. That's why I finally come out with my own understanding to share. Yeah, I ask myself, this teaching is so beautiful. How come it's not able to actually share with the world? Because like the seminar book paper that I wrote is so beautiful, and yet the world cannot understand. That's why that seminar book, the summary is very good. Then when it comes to actual cultivation, it's a lot more. That's why now the website, everything with the explanation, with the sharing, with the YouTube sharing and all things, it has become very different. So now a lot of cultivator who wants the real understanding of the teaching, they can refer to this website and all the printed PDF file, e-book and all this thing, they are available. Then it's like so much easier compared to last time. But now, because of the progress of civilization and the ability of all this modern media to help to actually record all this, is something very useful. If people know how to screen, search and look, then it will help them. But don't worry, cultivator all the way will find it. Finally they will find it. Because when they listen, they will know it. Because when it's pointed out so clearly, black and white, also you cannot understand, it's too bad. You still want to comment whether you follow Sutta or you don't follow Sutta, then it's very difficult. Because what is a Sutta? Discourse of the Buddha. But how you interpret the Sutta is more important. If you truly understand the Sutta, you will have a shock of your life. It's so different from what you think. Yeah, it's not about the thought and the knowledge. Sutta has its teaching very deep, and not all the recorded sutta have the correct commentaries. So if you based on commentary or based on your own limited understanding or viewpoint and you comment, it's very dangerous. My advice is cultivate, develop mindfulness first. So that you understand what is being shared by people who really have the understanding. Otherwise, you cannot understand. You think you understand from your whatever knowledge. But the reality is completely different. That's why sometimes, if, like that day, Jin Hao, I think he showed me, because somebody think it's a fair comment, we are based on his understanding. According to him, is my explanation on awareness and consciousness. I don't know how he put it. So he mentioned about not according to Sutta. So I told him, oh, never mind, let things be not important, because why do we want to be right? Our sharing is not about right and wrong. It's about helping people to have alternative understanding. If you find it suitable, helpful, use it. If you think it's not according to what you want, not according to Sutta, then also let it be. Like I used to say, we respect each other's understanding, no right, no wrong. So the best way is to cultivate ourselves and to find out. But if we don't cultivate, we may not understand what people say. Then we cannot just too eager to right and wrong, to comment or what. Then we do those things. But the world is the world. So we have to accept that it bound to happen. That's why I told you now, we don't have to do anything, just let things be. Because it's not about right and wrong. It's about sharing. The sincere intent to share. Once they share, it has nothing to do with my nature. Whether you agree, you don't agree, or you accept or not, it's not important. More important is how it can benefit living beings. Okay, PG, sorry to detour so much. You can continue.
Okay, very true.
Yeah.
So I will continue with what I experienced during the silent meditation. Okay. As I described earlier, when during the flow of the endless flow of the lotus flower,
yeah.
Then those words of Nirodha and Magga came up.
Wow, sadhu. Very, very good, sadhu. Nirodha is cessation. Magga is the path.
Even word, the third word was, I think, emptiness. And then there's
sadhu.
Another word, but I didn't bother to really remember.
Never mind. No need to remember.
Because I just stay with the moment and just let things be.
Allow the nature to move. Allow that thing to manifest. That's why a lot of things will happen. So it's not from the thought, it's from the nature come out. Then it show it to you, let you understand. That's why this type of meditation is so different from the nature it come out. Sadhu.
And after that, I can after this incident, it's like it comes silent again. And for quite a long time, Bertil.
Yeah, you will go into that nature. The very subtle, refined awareness nature. You will go deeper and deeper.
I can know that it's much different this time.
Yeah. Which you haven't experienced before, it will take you in.
And then gradually you can feel a shift, and then I start to feel that I'm coming out again.
Then you come back to normal awareness.
Yeah, you come back to normal.
Awareness and consciousness.
Yeah.
Very good. Unless you go into all this type of meditation, your nature, you can never understand the true mind, the true nature. But there are so much to experience and to realize inside that, because it has its movement, the unconditioned and all those things. And this one is so different from the mundane mind. But this one is about that nature, that true nature, the awareness nature. And as you develop wisdom more and more, the vibration become more and more fine. As it become more and more fine, a lot of things happen. Then later on, when it reached the fineness to the level where your mundane mind also cannot stand, then it will collapse. But it will take a while, that one won't be so fast. Then before it collapses, you will know. A lot of things will happen on your forehead there. Then when it happens, you will realize the big difference. How come last time you can't see, now suddenly everything like the cloud all dispersed, like the whole mundane mind collapse no more. I use the word collapse, really collapse, and the whole consciousness like drop off. The whole, that mundane mind consciousness, that very gross one. Of course, no sound. But then after that, that nature shine forth, the supramundane nature shine forth. Then I was like, for 4 or 5 days, I remember. So amazing. Wow, how come that nature like that one? Everything is still the same, no? But last time, how come I cannot see so clearly? Now, suddenly that nature shines forth. Everything becomes so pristine, so clear. The characteristic of nature is everywhere, every instant, every moment. How come last time I cannot see? That's why I always say, for those who see, they always see. So this Dhamma is very beautiful. I used to share this after that. I said, truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see, because their nature, their true mind is always there. That is the third hallmark of winning. When the mind has already no more mundane mind, it doesn't dwell anymore. The supramundane mind is the pure awareness that shines forth. with the wisdom and the understanding. That's why that one, no more delusion, no more dwelling, no more of all those like very gross type of movement, agitation, vibration. All those, they will collapse because they cannot withstand that subtle transform vibration of our true nature or true mind. So when your true mind, silent mind, awareness, nature becomes so stable, when it is able to have that type of understanding and transformation, because this internal movement transformation has to go through the gateway. We call it, some call it the lotus, the gateway to go in. Because our heart there is like a lotus, the flower. It's just like an analogy. When all that chakra and nadi open up, it's like your heart is fully open. Then during that time, the awareness nature shine forth. Like its surface. There's no more of the mundane mind to obstruct or obscure or create those movements. No more. The whole thing like gone. That's why it's very beautiful. So sadhu to you.
Yeah, Bharatiya, that really makes me more determined to to really learn the Dharma and put into practice what I've been learning so far. Of course, with the Bodhisattva vows, of course, I also make my aspirations. I hope I'm not too ambitious with that.
No, there is no such thing. There are other great beings that even go further, much further to extend. Yours is already quite good, quite unique. But there are some who actually go a lot further, like Amitabha, Buddha, they heard last time. Like even Pusian, the vows are fantastic. And they really do it until their nature become very different. Very good, Sadhu.
Yeah, Bharatiya. Maybe I talk about a different subject that today, because when I saw something in the newspaper, it sort of hit me. There are so many people who are suffering, Bharatiya. As we take our Bodhisattva vows, you know, we can see that one of our vows is to help liberate sentient beings.
Sentient beings.
With that, that's why we cultivate virtue, blessings, and of course wisdom, you know, in order to be able to help sentient beings.
Yes, to do that work.
I saw this article that apparently there's a young man who came from Kuala Lumpur, and he drove through to the second bridge, and he jumped into the sea. He committed suicide. And up to today, they couldn't find his body. It was in the papers, right, actually. They couldn't find his body, and I was thinking, my God, how would the family be able to accept all this? You know, there will be no closure until the body is found. In that way, I was thinking, see how much sentient beings suffer without the Dharma.
Yes, very true.
And whatever leads this young man to do what he do, I can understand it is spiritual, because I can relate to it, because there's one time in my life where I did contemplate suicide, Bertil. It's a very sensitive subject, and
A lot of people cannot go through that, because this is a sign of the mind that has undergone depression. When it has this depression, suicidal thought arise. That's why the mundane mind without Dhamma is actually full of affliction. That's why the second vow of the Bodhisattva is very important. We vow to endure and severe all affliction. You can do that means you already perfected that parami of renunciation. You can renounce everything already. Then if you can do that, endure and severe all affliction, means you can help people already. No matter what affliction they go through, what suffering they go through, you have the understanding. That's why this book need all the vows to support us, and they are very beautiful. And the third vow is to cultivate the perfection or wisdom, to realize the perfection of wisdom. Then of course the last of the four bodhisattva vow is to vow to perfect the 10 perfection, to become Sammasambuddha. So that one will take longer. So all these vows are very important. And when we determine strongly, plant the seed of Bodhi to go this way, that is the driving force. And that one, I think you must have done it very strongly in the past. Otherwise, this time you cannot connect to such details so fast. That's why I say, don't underestimate the individual's past. When the time comes, people move very fast. You may not expect what happened, but when it happens, it will happen. That's why a lot of people don't understand what I say. I say, for you to be born during this sasana, to meet with the true Dhamma, is by no means an accident or a chance. It is your parami. You all must have great parami. Otherwise, you cannot be here doing all these things. Then when you become serious, like your case and a few kayamita, when you determine and go all out, then when you really connect, you move very fast, then you recall your past, then you will know what this is, then you will continue to progress. And that type of progress is no more regression on all the way up one, because it's so different. That's why a lot of this thing can happen. But be patient. Have these three things. Faith. Faith is very important. The faith. Then the second one is sincerity to go this way. Then finally is perseverance. That's why patient endurance with wisdom, perseverance. Then the karma, renunciation. If we can have this ability to renounce all things, then we will be able to do this work successfully. Of course, it will include affirmation, adhittan, and all those things. Like your case, the determination, you're very strong in your mind state. You have that character, which is very strong. And you apply it correctly, like what you do recently, it's going to be a great advantage to you, and it will propel your nature to move. So very good, Sadhguru.
Rajyo, I now seeing it, I know that I have the blessings, the guidance, and the protection of the great beings, Rajyo.
Yes, yes. You know, you can feel it. One, yeah.
What I want to talk about is what I said earlier. When the night that I had suicide thoughts, that was because of I just tell I'm a cancer survivor. Okay. I'm a cancer survivor, so after two operations, it's still not clear.
So
I had to go for either a third operation or chemo. Radiation and all that. And I was very upset, Brad Hill.
Yeah, that was many years back, huh?
20 over years ago.
Must be a long time ago, yeah. That's why...
I was very young then. Was very young then, Brazil.
And before you come into contact with the Dhamma,
And when I was driving back, Brazil, I had this thought to end it all, you know. I told myself, I will just finish it, you know. And circumstances were such that, Brazil, if I have been driving in let's just say on top of a hill or something like that, brother, I will finish it off. But I was driving on the busy road, brother.
Going back from
Jalan Pahang to PJ, so there's no way for me to do it.
The jam, the traffic jam. Yeah.
Not traffic jam, but it's like no way for you to bang anywhere or anywhere. Yeah.
Have the dangerous curvature or route.
That's why, brother, I said that something must have protected me then.
Your form and mind.
It's just like after the short while, these thoughts just went off, brother. You see, I'm not even depressed or whatever. It's just that it's the spur of the moment, brother.
It's the karmic thing. It will surface because there is condition, there is surface. Then if you are protected, then nothing will happen. That's why a lot of this thing about karma, people don't understand. Because karmic thing, you have to be very careful. That's why the Buddha say, all evil has to be avoided. So if you can do that, then you will not have all this. But as cultivator, you don't worry. Even initially, the initial years of the cultivation, sometimes all this like very deep past karmic thing, they will surface. Like this line, because when you were young, you haven't met the Dhamma, and you doesn't know all these things. So karma will take its course. That's why you go through all this. Then like you say, your character has to be like that. It's because you want to survive. Because your career and all those things, and your small size, and that is what you are. So it will have all those conditions behind. And it's also for you to see, for you to understand. So that later on, when you connect and develop the understanding, now you look back, all this become very clear. So all this will happen to cultivator, which is something that will add on to your deep experience to understand suffering of living beings.
True. As we learn the Dharma and understand the Dharma, whatever difficulties we go through, we now see it with different eyes.
Completely different.
And we can take it much better.
Yeah.
And more forgiving to others, and especially to ourselves.
Yes.
We are very hard on ourselves, and we think that whatever we do is so bad and so evil. But like you say, at that time, because we are so heedless, we don't understand, right?
Correct. The Dhamma hasn't arisen.
Yeah, it's the normal way to survive. And
correct.
And we do what we did.
That's why your karmic past is unique to you. Alicia one unique to her. And mine is different again. As you cultivate, develop more understanding, you will receive the Dhamma very early. Then you will understand this very early. Like myself, I don't need to have suffering or problem to look for truth. Since young, my mind is already in that direction. After Form 4, Form 5, I start to inquire already. I like to look at the heavens, the sky, the stars and all those things. After I know science and geography, then I inquire, who am I? What am I doing here? Then inside that nature tell me, you must meditate to understand. Then I accepted that. Then when I was in Form 6, I received the first book, the Four Noble Truths, the What Buddhists Believe, by K. Sri Dhammananda, our late chief rabbi. The moment I read the Four Noble Truths, no need to search already. I know what that thing is already. And I don't have problem with life. That's why the truth come to me. And a lot of things just happened. Show it to me when I was young about karma and all those things. So everyone is different. For you, you have to wait till maybe much later part of your life to receive the Dhamma, like Alicia. But Alicia go through depression. You didn't really go through. You only have the suicidal thought. Then your life is based on your karmic past and all this thing. That's why everyone is different. So you look at all the cultivators, they are different. Even Brother Song, Bojang, many of the Kayamita. Bojang, before he really had the faith, everything, he also like doesn't know anything, like very new to the Dhamma. Then they always ask questions. I remember the first retreat. Then he very sincere, I remember, very naive. And he said, but I hope you don't mind. I very saw every children. I need to ask questions. It's okay. Because these are the people who have their past. Then when the time comes, they were sick. Then everything will unfold when the condition is there. So a lot of cultivators, they will come to know they are all different. That's why as we go through this training, this cultivation, this sharing, we will see everyone is different. All Kayamita, you look at the way Sui An, Mi Feng, even Jin Hao, they all, Tammy, Man Yuan, everybody, even LC, they all, even Jiu Polian. So very different. Everyone is so different. I think you can relate more to Jiu Polian, where you are quite closer to you.
Yeah, Virgil, that's what I want to tell her.
Yeah.
Put in more effort.
Don't play some more.
Yeah, be steadfast in your learning. Just do it, you know. If at this life, in this life, if we
the window
so
is there.
We really must we must take it,
Brazil. Go
all out for it. Just put maybe 1 or 2 years into it and see how it unfolds for you.
Yes.
The blessings of the triple gems, if you ask for it, it will really bless and guide you to do.
That's
what
why the
done in
Bodhisattva vow, we chant that one, we seek that one. The great beings blessing, protection and guidance. And we cultivate affinity with great beings. That one is going to help a lot. A lot of people don't understand. That's why I put that into my miscellaneous vow and I share it with all of you. That's why it's very important. The Bodhisattva vow and the way, the miscellaneous vow, all this. That's why that yellow card is priceless, I tell you. That one how teach you how to break karmic obstructions and all. Then how to take the vow and how to actually develop all the right view, the right understanding. Then create, cultivate affinity with the great beings, the triple gem, all those things. So all these are very unique Dhamma.
Yeah, Brazil, because I must really thank Chu Po Lian because she's the one who brought me to Brazil's class.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah,
yes.
For that, I'm very thankful and I can only wish that she has the same opportunities to learn the Dhamma quickly.
Because of that parami, she will. It's like it taught the lua. Then later on, people toy. Yeah, that is a part of me. That's why sometimes you help people, you may think it's just like, nothing special or nothing fantastic. But don't underestimate all this. Because you will never know how it turned out. Like Chu Po Lian in your case. No, it turned out you connect and you have the understanding. Then you will have a lot of gratitude. Then he actually brought somebody who has the potential to go this way to actually come into contact with the Dhamma again. Of course, also your past karmic condition and everything. But it is all this that actually trigger. Then in the future, when she is lost again, people will bring her back because of what she has done for you. And a lot of the things that Kayamita do, now you may not know. Actually, all the sharing, all the whatever mutual, they call, like as Kayamita, we are very sincere. We support, motivate, and help each other. And sometimes we give counsel, we encourage, we motivate. And these are very beautiful. We are all cultivators of the way. And we never know any of us, like what is predicted in this Miao Fa Lian Hua Qing. Every of you are potential Buddhas. Samasa Buddha, you have the way. So it can happen. And when it happens, oh, you have a shock of your life. Oh, you actually, last time we were Kayamita, we were Dhamma friends together. Wow, now that guy or she has become Samasa Buddha. So all these are possible. There's nothing shocking about it. So a lot of these things, as you cultivate, you will know. That's why I always hint to you all. Later on, when you connect, when you come to know who you are, what your nature is, you will get a shock of your life that who you have encountered, what type of beings have you encountered, the kayamitas and all those things. You will never believe all these things. And this is this special window, this life. That's why it's very good. Wow, Sadhu, Biji, very good. You created a lot of good condition for all this understanding and sharing.
Yeah, Brother, please, I will end my sharing.
Ken, thank you so much.
I would like to express my gratitude to you, Brother, and Mrs. Teo, for all the guidance. The guidance and so much more, Brother, the kindness and the patience that you have.
Also, all the Kayamita who has made this possible, Sri Anjin, how they all. And even Chupolian others.
That's how we should rejoice. The early ones will make this sharing with Brother possible.
Yeah, possible. Especially Yun Chan. Yun Chan invited me to come out.
With this, I will.
Okay, let us rejoice with the good condition and the sharing. Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu. Very good. Tonight sharing, very good. So for this one, you all must go and listen to it again. You will help a lot of people. Even the first session, I explained the whole meditation one. Then when during the sharing, I explained again. Today's sharing is very exceptional. Together with PJ sharing, very complete in many aspects of the Dhamma.